like you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. We're going to be speaking about little ones. Not children, but little things in the Bible. Little things in the Bible that we often neglect or forget about, but God doesn't forget. And you know, sometimes we feel like no one knows who we are. And no one knows what we're doing. But God does. Amen. And he keeps track of what's going on. And that's why I love that song, Little is Much When God Is In It.
That's right. Amen.
You know, at the judgment seat of Christ, when we give our life after we've been saved, our testimony, what a time that will be. But you know, there's going to be a lot of folks that we never knew about that God did and God used in a great way. Amen. In fact, you know, the little maid, we're going to talk about her in a couple minutes here. The little maid that was able to bring Naaman to healing. Remember, he had leprosy. We don't know her name, but God does.
Right.
And God knows that she was faithful doing the little things that are so important.
Right.
You know, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Little foxes that spoil the vine. And so it's those little things that we have to be careful of and to rejoice in what God is doing. 1 Kings chapter 17. Remember Elijah, he was a prophet of God. He was unusual. He was like John the Baptist. You know, John the Baptist had a cameled hair suit coat. And, you know, John the Baptist ate locusts and honey. Now, I like the honey part. I don't care for the locust part. Unless you put honey on the locust. I don't know if that'll make a difference, but John the Baptist lived in the wilderness. I don't know if John the Baptist was ever married. I don't know if a wife could handle him, you know, the way he was. I had a young man in my church, and for years he was praying for a wife, and we'd pray with him, but after many years of seeing this fella single, I can understand why the Lord has him still single, you know. He's a bachelor through and through, and I've seen enough bachelors through the years. I thank God I'm not a bachelor. I thank God I have a wonderful wife, and thank you for praying for her. She is doing better. She's at Bancroft today, praise the Lord, and she's has a heart condition. It's called a broken heart syndrome. And you say, well, Pastor, you didn't give her a broken heart, did you? No, it's a weakening of the heart. And we found out about it when we were in the hospital and they did the heart catheterization and they found out what was going on. But praise the Lord, it could be taken care of by medication.
Amen.
And But we were concerned about her hard history with her family, especially her dad and mom. And she had a brother that died of heart disease and another brother who's struggling, has heart disease. And when they did the heart cath, they came back and they said, well, she's got this broken heart syndrome, but her arteries and her veins are clear. Nothing wrong with them. And I said, well, praise the Lord for that,
right.
You know. But I'm so thankful for her and for what God is doing in our lives. And it's been a blessing. We'll have 49 years in June, my wife and I. So I know she deserves a medal of honor. You know, all wives do for their putting up with their husbands for so long. What a blessing. But here's Elijah, and Elijah is a prophet of God. Elijah takes these 450 prophets of Baal and destroys them. But there's one person that he could not destroy and he was afraid of. And we all know who it was. It was Jezebel. And Jezebel caused a lot of problems for Elijah. But as we look at Elijah's life here, we see that he is by the brook Kerioth in verse 3. Get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Kerioth that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Now, I don't know what he's being fed. I'm not real excited about ravens feeding me or feeding him. But I don't know. You think it might have been steak? I don't know. Some kind of meat. And the Lord was taking care of him. Verse 5. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Kerioth, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Have you been there before? Sometimes God sends a famine, doesn't he?
That's right.
Sometimes there's a dearth in the land. And it's all part of God's working in our lives. Amen. You know, when we go soul winning and witnessing, we don't always see somebody saved all the time. But God is working. And eventually, his word will not return void, but have its purpose being done. Yeah. And oh, how we've seen where we've witnessed and been faithful to God, and God eventually brings a harvest.
Amen.
Maybe it's not our way, but it's his way. Maybe we have witnessed to that person. Maybe they move away and then we hear that they got saved.
Amen.
Why did they get saved? Because we were faithful getting the word out. It wasn't our time for that person to receive the harvest, but it was later on. God makes no mistakes. He knows what he's doing. And we just need to be faithful to God, and God will honor our faithfulness. And so Elijah was faithful to God, and God caused the brook to dry up because there was no rain in the land. Look at verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, you know, that was the key about Elijah's life. He was controlled by the word of the Lord. He didn't have the Bible like we had. Elijah did not carry a King James version of the Bible. You know, all he had was the word of the Lord, and that was enough. And that controlled his life. And we need to be controlled in our lives as Christians by the word of the Lord. Mm-hmm. The lady that just came up and gave testimony of camp, of the ladies' retreat. What is the key there? The key is the word of God.
That's right.
See? It's the word of God that changes us so that we can become more like him. Right. So verse 9. So here's Elijah, not able to eat now. Famine comes. The brook has dried up. He can't drink. And so the Lord says to him in verse 9, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. God always takes care of his people. He always does. You know, when we think about David, what did David say? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not what? Want. He didn't need anything else. All he needed was the Lord.
Right.
And you know, when you think about it, all we need today is the Lord. And the Lord will sustain us. The Lord will take care of us. The Lord will provide for us. I remember years ago when we started a church in Duluth, Minnesota, back in the 70s. And my mom and dad drove a truck to Duluth, Minnesota from Chicago, about 500 miles. And I was in my little, I had a 71 Chevy Nova. And I was driving that with my wife. And I've come to find out later on that my dad was saying to my mom, the whole trip, your son is crazy. Your son is crazy. You know, traveling 500 miles to Duluth, Minnesota to start a church. My dad wasn't saved. And my mom later on at 90 years old got saved.
Amen.
But, and I thought, when I heard those things, I said, no, God's going to take care of us. God's going to provide for us.
That's right.
And you know, I remember when we were living in Duluth, and we came to a point in the wintertime where we didn't have any food left. And all we had was budding lunch meat. How many remember budding lunch meat? Come on, you older folks, you remember. All right. Budding lunch meat. Didn't even have any bread. Didn't have anything to put on it. Budding lunch meat. And my wife said, that's all we got. And I said, are you really serious? And she said, yeah, I'm serious. So we bowed our heads and we thanked God for the budding lunch meat that we received. That's all we had in the house. All we had in the cupboard. The next day, I get a knock at the door. It was a Saturday morning. And several people came to the door and they had boxes of food for us.
Hallelujah.
I'll tell you, it was a church in Superior, Wisconsin, right across the bay. Rick Scarberry was the pastor. I love Rick. What a blessing he was through the years. He's with the Lord now, many years. But he said, brother, we're here to help you. We know the Lord wanted us to bring this to you. Glory to God.
Amen. That's right.
I didn't need budding lunch meat anymore. I thank God for it. But boy, I'll tell you, we had a feast.
Amen.
What a blessing it was. But you know, God took care of us that whole time we were there.
Amen.
Didn't have a salary, didn't have anything. All we had was God, and that was enough. And he provided for us. Just like he did with Elijah. And so Elijah goes from the brook Kerioth to the furnace of affliction in Zarephath. But he uses this widow woman to sustain thee. We don't even know her name, but God does. See, little is much when God is in it.
Amen.
And so he arose and went to Zarephath. Verse 10, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. You look at that and you say, why did he say that? Who is he to say that to this widow woman? What was she doing? She was at the point of desperation, gathering sticks. And she said, I need a drink. Can you take care of that for me? Verse 11. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. Man, he not only said, give me a drink, but he said, give me some bread. How dare that guy? What's wrong with him? Verse 12. When she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse." Remember those words. A little oil in a cruse. "And behold, I'm gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and what? Die." She's at the point of death. She's at the point where she doesn't have anything else. She's going to provide the last meal for her and her son, and then they're going to die. And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not." Oh, thank God for the words of the prophet. Don't be afraid. Fear not. You know, there are over 360 some fear nots in the Bible. Almost a fear not for every day that we live during the year. And he says, "Fear not, and do as thou hast said. But make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make it for thee and for thy son." The audacity of Elijah. Now he said, "Make me a little cake." I don't know what kind of cake it was. I love coconut cake, and I love banana cream cake, or whatever, you know, or all kinds of cake. But he said, "Make me a cake, and make it for yourself and for your son." Remember, she didn't have anything else. Verse 14. "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." You know, it didn't rain for another 3 years. There was a famine in the land for 3 years. And so Elijah says to this widow woman, "God is going to take care of you. He's going to provide meal for you in a barrel, and he's going to provide oil for you to take care of your needs." And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. She obeyed the prophet of God. She obeyed God. And she, verse 15, "and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah." See, Elijah left the brook, nothing. Comes to Zarephath, furnace of affliction, the word there, and God provides through a widow woman. God provides through anyone.
Right.
And we have seen it through the years.
Amen.
Little is much when God is in it. And then we find that she's living well. And she says unto Elijah, verse 18, let's go back to verse 17. "And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him." Sometimes trials pile up, don't they, in our lives? See, trials will make us better, or they will make us bitter. And there are people today that should be here. You know why they're not here? Because they're bitter. And you know who they're bitter at? They're bitter ultimately at God.
That's right.
"Oh God, you're not fair." No. God is perfect. God is holy. God is righteous. He makes no mistakes.
Amen.
He makes no mistakes. And so here, the woman is taken care of. The son is taken care of. And now the son dies. But it's not the end of the story, is it? Verse 18, and she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? What in the world? Why did you come? Since you've come, you've caused problems. No, her attitude was, she was concerned about her sin, wasn't she? She was concerned about her life, her son's life. In verse 19, and he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft, where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come unto him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. Does God hear your voice today when you pray? Does God hear your voice when you pray? Or is it because there's sin in your life? If I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. How's your prayer life today? Are you seeing God answer prayer? Or is there sin in your life? Are there things that are wrong in your life? You need to get it right so that you can see God answer prayer. And here was this situation with Elijah and the woman. And the Bible says, and the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber in the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. What a testimony of what God did. God took a seemingly terrible situation and turned it around for his glory. And that's what he does. You know, sometimes we pray for someone who has cancer. And we pray and pray and pray for God to heal that person. And then that person dies. And God says, I did heal that person. You prayed for healing. That person's healed now because they're in heaven with Jesus. They're no longer suffering anymore. See, the little C is conquered by the big C. The little C is cancer. The big C is Christ. And I've seen godly people, men and women, that love the Lord and serve the Lord and were stricken with cancer. But Christ was victorious. Because Christ will conquer cancer, whether here on this earth or in heaven.
Amen.
There'll be no more cancer anywhere in heaven.
Right.
God will take care of it now. And so when that person dies with cancer as a Christian, a believer, they're not going to suffer anymore. Thank God for that. And there have been many other situations where God's answer to prayer is what he wanted in the first place. He said, I'm going to take that child to heaven to be with him forevermore. And so she says here that I know, by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. We need truth today. Well, that's why we need the word of God. That's why you have a pastor that's coming that's going to preach, thus saith the Lord. He's going to preach the truth of the word of God. Don't get mad at the preacher because he preaches the truth. Get mad at yourself because you need to get right. Last Sunday, I preached at Ambassador Baptist Church. They have a new pastor coming. Pastor Jones from Amarillo, Texas. And they're excited about that. And so I've been at Ambassador, now I'm at Viroqua. And both of you now have churches or pastors. And I'm out of work. Oh, well, you know what? I'm not out of work. God's going to take care of us like he always has. And I had about 5 or 6 people come forward last Sunday. And I didn't expect anything like that. In fact, my message that I preached was not what I was going to preach. But God directed me to do that. And oh, we need to see revival in our churches.
Amen. Right.
How long has it been since we've seen people come down an aisle
Amen.
And get right with God? You know, we call it a mourner's bench. Why do we call it a mourner's bench? So that people can mourn over their sin. People can mourn over the way they live. And ask God for forgiveness. And ask God for cleansing. And ask God to revive them. That's what we need in our country. We don't need political things like we have a wonderful president now. And we need to pray for him. I pray every day that God will save him. I believe he's close to being saved. He has a lot of people in his circle that are Christians, believers. But America's not going to get saved by President Trump. America will get saved by Christ and him alone.
Amen.
And our allegiance and our devotion and our loyalty, first of all, is to be to the King of Kings.
Amen.
And Lord of Lords. Let me leave you with another story here from the Bible. I love the Old Testament stories. They're wonderful blessings. 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. And verse 44. Remember I mentioned about King Ahab was the husband of Jezebel. By the way, Jezebel wore the pants in the family. It was not Ahab. Ahab was weak and lowly and a mess. And he listened to Jezebel with all her evil. By the way, have you ever heard anybody name their daughter Jezebel? Very seldom. Most, you know, years ago they named the girls Mary, from the Bible Mary, but hardly ever hear of a person named Jezebel named. But in verse 44, remember there's a famine that's going on for 3 years. And verse 44, and it came to pass at the seventh time. I'm sorry, let's go back up to verse, Verse 41. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is sound of abundance of rain. There had been a famine. What is he talking about? A sound of abundance of rain. It's kind of like when Noah built an ark. And they said, why are you building an ark? Because it's going to rain. Well, what is rain? They didn't know. You're crazy, Noah. Well, we know what happened there, didn't we? But in verse, there's a sound of abundance of rain. You know what? That reminds me of God's faith in Elijah. God was faithful. Elijah was faithful to God. And Elijah had great faith in the Lord. Verse 42. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. And he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. What was he doing? He was worshiping God. And said to his servant, go up now. Look toward the sea. And he went up and he looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again seven times. Seven is the number of completion or perfection in the Bible. Remember when Joshua and his people, what did they do? They walked around Jericho on that last seventh day seven times. And they shouted and the walls came tumbling down. So he says here, go again seven times. Verse 44. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little, here is that word again, a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. Okay? Like a man's hand, that's all. Little cloud. What's that mean? That doesn't mean anything. Well, yes, it does to God. He says, and he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot, and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. What faith Elijah had. Verse 45. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with what? Clouds. Plural. Remember? Man's hand, little cloud. Now, there's a lot of clouds. You ever been caught in a storm? You know, starts out getting dark. Maybe some little clouds. And before you know it, there's a lot of clouds. And a lot of rain and a lot of lightning. And so he says here in verse 45, black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. Remember, they had been without rain for 3 years. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. And he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Little is much when God is in it. Little hand, little cloud, little hand, man's hand. That's all God needs. And I ask you this morning before we close, what is in your hand that God wants to use? What's in your hand? What's in your heart that God wants to use? You know, the Bible tells us that we need to love the Lord thy God with all thy what? Heart. What's in your heart today? Do you have a heart to seek after God? Do you have a heart to trust God? To believe God like Elijah believed? It's interesting about Elijah's ministry. He performed 7 miracles in his ministry, in his lifetime. Elisha came along, servant of God to Elijah. And what did Elisha say to the Lord? Give me a double portion of thy spirit. You know how many miracles Elisha did in his lifetime? 14. Double what Elijah did. See, God wants to use you, folks. Little as much when God is in it. You may be little, but God says you're great in his sight. We are more than conquerors who him who loved us. You know, with God, all things are possible.